621 1320 WILS. Well, the Fed today, saying that they're going to hold interest rates as they are, but still expecting to move them up this year. Leonard Raskin with us, a nationally known financial strategist and CEO at Raskin Global, raskinglobal.com. Leonard, great to have you on WILS. Thanks.
Great to be with you again. How are you tonight?
Good. What is your view on how the Fed's been operating? Is it doing all the right things?
Well, I like that it moved rates up a little bit. Wasn't surprised at all that they didn't move rates up today. I think it's a little too soon in the president's term for them to be tinkering with rates. They certainly have an eye on everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. Get good job numbers. We get good manufacturing numbers. The economy starts to speed up. The Fed will potentially raise the discount rates a little bit. But I have to tell you, they're generally chasing the economy, and that's what happens. The economy sets the marker for rates. If a business goes in to borrow, then the rates are set by the banker that lends. These are just bank-to-bank rates. And so the marketplace will decide what the interest rates will be, and they're starting to turn up a little bit already.
The markets as a whole, are they really concerned about where the interest rates are heading right now?
Well, when we say the markets, if we're talking about the bond market, I think it's certainly interested. And watching closely the mortgage rates and car loan rates and credit card rates, those things all trickle depending upon what the Fed does. Mm-hmm. I don't think the stock market really is too worried about it at this point. I think what's happening is we're looking at a president that's got the potential to cut income taxes, do away with a bunch of regulation, and spur economic growth in this country. And when that happens, profits dictate where the market goes, and over the long term, there's no better place to be with your money than invested in the stock market.
Yeah, we just talked to an economist earlier who said these tax cuts and income taxes actually may cause us trouble. It's going to increase the national deficit potentially by hundreds of billions of dollars. What's your view on that? Could that actually cause us some trouble?
Well, all the economists look at is static forecasting. What they forget about is that when we cut income tax rates, the government keeps their hands out of our pockets. Corporations create jobs. Jobs create income. And when consumers have more money, they spend it, they save it, they invest it. We can certainly not worry about a chunk adding on to the deficit if we're in a position of growth.
Yeah. Although I should note that he said with the unemployment rate now, we're basically at a very low point. We shouldn't expect too much more employment from these tax cuts. Do you agree that we are at a very low jobless rate right now?
I think the government can make any number look like whatever they want it to look like. And if you look at the quote-unquote Department of Labor number, it says a 4.7% unemployment rate. But I'd caution listeners to take a look at the real data that shows tens of thousands, millions of people that are out of work that want to have jobs, want to have more full-time jobs, people that have given up looking for work. I don't think we're at full employment by any stretch. I think there's a lot of people that could come back into this labor force strong. And from that standpoint, that would cause great economic growth. And with growth, we get great upside and in the economy, great downside of our debt. And I think that's a great thing for America.
One thing, by the way, Leonard Raskin is with us here on WILS. One thing Wall Street apparently is starting to look at is how the Fed is going to unwind $4.5 trillion on its balance sheet. How much of an issue is that going to be looking forward in your view?
I think it would be a lot bigger issue if a lot of that money was in circulation, but in fact, it's not. I mean, they're holding a lot of debt out there on the balance sheet, but it's not money that anybody's taken. That's the big thing. There hasn't been a lot of growth. There's just been money issued for the sake of issuing money. I don't think it's going to be as difficult to take it back necessarily, much harder than it was to get it out there. We don't have huge inflation going on. We don't have a lot of demand going on yet. And I think they'll be able to unwind some of that debt pretty easy once the economy starts to churn. I don't think it's going to be as hard as people might make it look to be.
So getting the economy to churn, what is the key to that happening then in your view?
Well, again, less regulation, less income tax, repatriation. Let some companies that have this money offshore bring it back onshore at a cheap price. Right now, nobody wants to do that at 35%. But if we're talking about a 10 or 15% repatriation dollar, you'll see that money come flying back onshore. You'll see manufacturing happening back here in America. And when the American engine's unleashed, I think it'll just show us, as always, that we're the greatest country in the world and we're alive at the greatest time in history. And the place to be long-term with your investments would be in the stock market.
Let me ask you this, Leonard. What about the argument that corporations are going to be, basically with the extra money, they're going to do stock buybacks, they're going to increase dividends, that kind of thing. They're not necessarily going to grow the companies or hire new people. What do you say to them?
I think that's a little silly. Some of them will certainly retire some of their stock, but there's great acquisitions. It's a great time for companies that have money to look to grow. There's amazing technologies out there today. In the biotech area, in the IT area, you're going to see flying cars. You're going to see self-driving cars, self-driving trucks. The big thing is going to be, how the heck do we retrain all these people that are in jobs right now that become obsolete? Mm-hmm. And there'll be great demand for great workers, and we have a bunch of them. So I just look forward with great optimism as to what's coming, and if we can free up that engine of creativity and entrepreneurship, the world is ours. It always has been.
Yeah, I know when you look at the markets, you're looking long-term generally. Now, if you look even in, if you try to look at the next year or so, I mean, do you feel that the markets are in a good place right now moving forward, at least in the next year or two?
Well, as you said so well, I look at the long-term. I really don't look at the next year or 2 years. If you need money short-term, you shouldn't be in the market. Mm-hmm. If you're a long-term investor, you got to diversify, you got to rebalance on the dips, you got to hold it for the long term, 10 years or more. Yeah. And all history tells us that long term the market goes up.
Which sectors are you most right now? Which sectors would you say are most promising to you right now?
Well, I look at the small caps right now, as we always have. The small caps and the value stocks outperform the large caps over the long term. Mm-hmm. So you make sure you get your premiums where the market dictates that they come from. And just look out there and say, okay, I'm going to have a certain amount of small companies. I'm going to have a certain percentage of large companies. I'm going to own internationally. Right now, the international stocks have lagged our markets for the most part, and there's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of development to occur, a lot of companies to make a lot of money.
Which areas of the world do you look at internationally then?
Well, we want countries that have great property rights, good regulation, good accounting. We don't want Enron accounting out there to be the place we're looking at. We certainly look at Europe, look at Israel, look at some of the developed countries there, look at the Asian Tiger region. There's a lot of great bargains to be had out there in the marketplace. And so the idea is to be well-diversified internationally and rebalance it over time, keep going.
Really, what's happening in Israel right now?
Well, there's all kinds of crazy happening over there. But from a corporation standpoint, they're developing all kinds of great biotech, all kinds of great technology. It'd be very interesting to see the people out there that are crying in the marketplace that they don't want to buy anything made in Israel when they come up with potentially amazing cures for diseases as they have in the past. And all of a sudden, somebody has it and says, I don't want it because it comes from there. I doubt it.
Uh-huh. So is that any kind of opposition to Israel might change on that, you think?
Well, I think people have their voice, but, you know, it's a matter of practicality more than it is a matter of.
Yeah. Now, what is it specifically in Israel? In a minute left, but what is it specifically that you think makes that such a promising area for investment?
Well, it's the only democracy in the Middle East, it's the only place where property rights exist. It has good accounting and it has great minds. Mm-hmm. And you put all that together and you've got great investment from around the world happening there, creating all kinds of amazing technology. You look at some of the new battery technology, you look at some of the biotech technology, pharmaceutical technology, a lot of it comes out of there. And those are areas going forward that are going to boom and just continue to do so. And you miss it at your peril.
Leonard Raskin, it's RaskinGlobal.com. Leonard, thanks.
Pleasure.
Here's Fox News.